Pastor Mark will resume with our sermon series on Ephesians next week. But today I will preach on a little bit on missions as we get a brief update on our most recent trip to Haiti as well. So I'll read two scriptures for us. The first is John 10, verses 10 to 11, which reads, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And the second scripture reads from Isaiah 58, 6 to 7. "Is this not the fast which I chose? To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. And we thank you for your word that encourages us, your words that inspires us, your words that spur us on to continue in your mission, wherever that may be, whether it be in Haiti, in Congo, right here in Carrollton. Father, we pray that you may speak to our hearts today through your words. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Every year, as we're preparing to go into Haiti, we always ask the same question, the same looming question remains. Why go into Haiti? What's the point? Why do we endure the heat, the mosquitoes, the sleepless nights, and all the aggravation, everything dealing with the airport? With our family, there's always some kind of issue when we go into Haiti. I remember the first time we went to Haiti with our children several years ago, we forgot all their luggages home. I mean, they had no clothes. Their suitcases were right in our bedroom. The boys had no clothes to wear in Haiti. No clothes whatsoever, okay? That was the first time we went. And there are several things like that that happen every year we go to Haiti. And so there's all this anxiety of the things we're forgetting and the things we're not remembering and the things that will happen, the mishaps. And this year, of course, without fail, we arrive at the airport with this big yellow bag that we always bring to Haiti. I mean, we always bring the bag to Haiti. No problem, right? We checked everything on the list. We just made sure, because by now we are, you know, travelers, world travelers. We are very savvy when it comes to the rules. We know the rules. We know the do's and don'ts. We know when to take off our shoes. And we're always looking at these people in line. Yeah, they've never traveled before, you know, because they don't know what to do. So we know the rules. We know what to do. But now it's our big yellow bag filled with soccer balls. It's just soccer balls. I mean, it's not going to blow anybody up or nothing. No contraband in there because we know the rules. But this year we had to stand in line 30 minutes. Arguing why that bag needed to make it to Haiti. I mean, come on. So we had to leave about 10 balls at the airport because our bag was too big and the sizes were too. So every year we're just bracing ourselves of what could possibly go wrong at the airport or throughout our trip. Who will get sick? Who will? So all this anxiety and all this pressure and all this tension, why even bother? Why do we go into missions? And this year, Fresnel and I both had our some trepidations and anxiety about going. His was more verbal and mine was more internal. I mean, for months, he was just, oh, man, I don't know if I want to go to Haiti. I don't know if it's for us anymore. I don't know. And for me, mine was held inside because I hold my anxiety inside. Deep breaths. Okay. When he speaks, I'm like, I just want him to be quiet because I'm trying to control my anxiety here. And he's verbalizing all this anxiety. And so same thing, you know, because we have issues with the culture, with the language, with the heat. Will they accept us? Because we're not just Haitians anymore. We're American Haitians, and our Creole is not all that great anymore. You know, will they accept us? Will we make sense? So we have all of this going on. Why go through all that trouble? Why even bother? And so before we went, we spent some time in prayer with the team asking God, show us something, something we are not anticipating, something good, something that will change our minds about missions. Because every year we go through this, you know, show us something. Let us see you, God. Let us see you. Communicate something to us, God. We need you. And so the week started, and the very first thing that happened was worship. And I have a video clip to share with you guys. I don't know. Worship always gets me in Haiti, you know. Worship gets the strongest of men in Haiti because you're looking at these people who have very little, and they show up with everything. And they want to worship. And the video clip of this worship service, the song, the first verse of the song, because it's in Creole, you can't understand. So I'll try my best to translate. The first verse of the song says, there was a time that I felt abandoned. And I cried out for mercy all throughout the earth. And I could not find it. But I lifted my head and cried out for Jesus. And he said, my child, come. And follow me if you are tired and weary and weary. And you'll hear something that repeats, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That means Jesus, okay? And the second verse says, when I came to him and followed him, my life started to change. He took my broken life and made me whole. And because of his grace, I can say I am saved. He took my broken life and made me whole. Jesus, 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 pa, 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 Father, 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 Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. This is the first video clip I want to show you. Forgive me for the quality of the video, but did you feel it? That these people with very little, they just showed up, you know, showed up to worship. And you can sense, I mean, I couldn't even stand still just watching the video because you just kind of want to join in that worship. And that was the first thing that God communicated to us, that you are here to proclaim the good news of Christ. You are here to proclaim that he can take the broken pieces of your lives, of their lives, and he can make them whole. And that was our theme for the entire week. That was our theme, that God can make the woman whole. God can make the family whole. God can make the marriages whole. God can make the children whole. How is God able to do that? And so we spoke, we used verses, we used scriptures, we had panel discussions, we had a great time of doing that. And so that is the first reason we went, is to go and proclaim the good news of Christ. And as we found in John 10, verses 10, it says, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes to give life. And give it abundantly. And that is why he laid down his life. And we discussed that being whole does not mean pain and problem free. Because I couldn't go to Haiti and talk to the Haitian people and say, yes, when you're whole, you will have these great homes. When you're whole, you will have these things that you see in the on TV. When you're whole, you will have money. We can't preach that, because that's not what wholeness in Jesus Christ means. And so we had to emphasize on faith in Christ, connecting to Christ, holding on to Christ, that when you hold on to Christ, when you have faith, you have stepped into wholeness with Jesus Christ. And I know on this side of heaven, you know, we look at our lives here in America. Suppose God decided to take all of it, all the stuff, and reduced us to what the Haitian people have. Would we still worship the same? Would we still lift up our hands and cry out to Jesus, Jesus, Spirit, Spirit, you took our broken lives and made us whole? Would we still do that? I pray we would. And so I have some pictures to show you of our time. For the first 2 days, we spent time with the women, and we shared what it meant to be whole. We proclaimed the good news of Christ. And so we showed up, these women showed up, and these are women that we've been working with for the past 5 years. And we can just go through the slideshow. These are women we've been working with for the past 5 years. And so we taught on what it meant to be whole. We gave trainings on decision making, and we took some assessments, and we laughed. We had a good time just sharing a little bit of our lives. This is one of the my ministry partners, Betty and Anid. They're in New Jersey, but they showed up with and joined our team as we were doing this conference in Haiti. And so that's what we did throughout the week. We shared. If we keep going through the slide, and towards the end of our time together, these are the bags that the church gave us. So after every conference, we usually just hand them a little something to say thank you. As a Haitian, you can't just show up in Haiti and not bring anything. It's always great to bring a little special gift, a little special something to say thank you. These women are some of the women that we help train. There's about 20 of them in Haiti that continually meet in our absence, and this is all of us meeting together. And so these are the women that we trained, and they continually do the work that we taught them to do, and they continually proclaim the name of Christ. And so throughout the week, we proclaim the name of Christ also to the children. I was not a part of the children's service, so I asked my husband to come forward to help us talk a little bit about the children's program and what we did in Haiti with the children. And so he is here. I'll give him a mic to just share a little bit about the children.
Good morning, church. This year we conducted a children's program, a typical VBS program dealing with sports, arts and crafts. And we always partner with Lake Point Church. For the past 2 years, we partnered with Lake Point Church to kind of help me work with these children. And it's just a wonderful time when we do go. We're able to just, it felt like just going back home, just to sit with the kids and play sports with them, do a Bible story, Bible study. And it's just so awesome. I'm going to go through some slides. When you go to Haiti, it's typical just to have fun with the kids. It seems like you're real cool. You jump rope with them. And it's just with the boys just playing with the kids. It's just when you go, it's hot. It's no AC. So you're just having fun. You're enjoying yourself. And it's like a kid being a kid again. When I go, it's just totally awesome just to see the kids just growing with you. And you see them every year.
That's soccer. One of the balls that made it to Haiti.
Yeah, that's one of them. So it's a joy to see my boys. It's a blessing for my family and the boys to just go and experience what we experience every year. So, you know, thanks so much for supporting us and praying for us as we take this journey every year to Haiti.
Fresnel doesn't share all. Thank you. So this year there was a group of teenagers. Okay. I don't know what happened in Haiti. The age for children is relative, okay? So if you have a children's program, you might have a 3-year-old there, or you might have a 17-year-old there. And so we had a group of teenagers this year that clung on to Fresnel, okay? And they called him Daddy Fres. All right. And so there was really like a group of 4 girls. They clung on to him, called him Daddy Fres, gave him notes, and we each received notes. The boys received notes. I received notes because I was Mommy Fres, you know. So it was a great time watching him and the boys just fall in. And the heat, yes, it's hot. We were in the church. They were outside in the heat for 8 hours of the day. And there's a point in Haiti when you're doing missions in Haiti, you just surrender to the heat. You surrender to the sweat. You surrender to the funk. You're like, okay, this is what we got to do. You know, we just surrender to it. And so for a week, we just surrender to all that. The second reason the Lord revealed to me that we went was found in Isaiah 58. While I was in Haiti, and we were about to do the marriage conference, and I knew I was stepping into a territory that would be very challenging for us as women, doing women's ministry. And this is the first time we're even thinking of doing a marriage conference. And so for the marriage conference was to do a community assessment. For one thing, you know, as a group of women teaching to men in Haiti, that's almost unthinkable. And so I had to invite some others to come along beside me to help with the marriage conference. So I invited Pastor Caleb Lucien, which is one of our partners now with Hosean International Ministries. I invited some friends of mine from New Jersey who are pastors, Haitian American pastors. And I also invited a couple from Brooklyn to come and help us with the conference. And so we needed them to help us with this marriage conference. We did an assessment asking, what exactly is going on with the marriages in Haiti? We don't know, so teach us. What is going on with the marriages in Haiti? I mean, we had answers from economic issues, domestic violence, not enough time, just a lot of things that are similar to what we go through here, but with very little resources. So same issues, but no resources to deal with those issues, if you know what I mean. Okay, so for the first day, Pastor Caleb showed up and taught about marriage. What is God's intent for marriage? And I sat back and I allowed the men and the couples to share a little bit more about God's intent for marriage. I don't know. You can see some of the small groups we did. We had a small group for the women. We separated them into different groups. We had a small group for men. We even had a single small group come with us, because in Haiti, if you're 27 and you haven't gotten married and you don't have any children, you're almost shamed. You know, and everyone in the church is constantly asking you, why aren't you married? Why do you not have children? Why? So we wanted to do a session for the singles to remind them that their value can be found in Jesus Christ and not just being married. Being married is something is a goal, but it's not the only goal there is in life. So we had a small group for them. Now, one of the sessions we had the most questions was the small group session on submission and headship. Now, I was a little challenged on that because Ephesians 5, they're looking at Ephesians 5, and I will wait for Pastor Mark to teach on Ephesians 5 next week. But Ephesians 5 is these people's rule book for marriage. Husbands, you are the head. And they're not looking at, you know, anything else it says, you know, to love your wife as Christ loves the church. They're just looking as you are the head. And wives, you are submit to the head. And that's it. That's it. And so we're stepping into that, you know, and we have a whole bunch of questions. So one woman stood up and says, well, is submission total submission? Meaning, do I submit to everything? Do I submit to domestic violence, to lying, to so on and so forth? So many questions. We had a man that stood up and says, well, suppose my wife provokes me. Do you see where that question is going? Okay. So I'm sitting here as Pastor Jula. Did he just ask that question? Yes, he did. And then we had questions about if my husband does not want me to go to church, what do I do? You know, so we had all of these questions during the marriage session and them seeking and wondering, how does God bring freedom in our marriages? Because we're in bondage. We want to be free. We want to live a life of wholeness in Jesus Christ. We want to live a life loving our wives as Christ loved the church. But our culture says, I am the head no matter what. My culture says, I can do whatever I can do and get away with it. But what does Christ say? And so the second reason we went was to bring about freedom for these couples, to talk about the freedom of Christ. When you join into a biblical marriage, what does that look like? Should your marriage be different from those that don't know Jesus? And our answers were yes. A Christian marriage should look different. There shouldn't be violence. There shouldn't be lying. There should be the husband loving their wives as Christ loves the church. And that is to death. That's the part we had to emphasize throughout the week. And so we had a great time doing that. There were a lot of hard questions, but we also had a good time just answering some questions, a good time. There was one part in our marriage conference where Betty, she is a single woman. She's in the middle, in the pink, single woman. And she got on stage because we did the five language love assessment. Of course, we had to do some American thing because Haitians, many of them don't do assessments, you know, like that. So we did a five language love assessment, love language assessment. You know what I mean? And so they had such a great time learning about their love language. And so when they came back from the small group of the assessment, everyone was giddy, everyone was smiling and great. Questions about, you know, if my wife loves this, how do I do that? How do I handle that? So during that session, Betty sensed that there were some great things happening among the couples. You know, they were starting to hold hands and put their arms around each other. So Betty Jean goes, well, since we're in the spirit of love, why don't you give your spouses a holy kiss? Oh my goodness. I mean, it was like she asked them to part the Red Sea. Everyone was so shy and no one wanted to kiss their spouses. So Pastor Caleb joined in, and Pastor Caleb is in the middle with the orange. He joined in and started grabbing couples to share a holy kiss. We had such a great time, and no one was safe, even Fresnel and myself. Fresnel was coming in from the children's program. They grabbed Fresnel and myself to share in a holy kiss. I mean, it was just a great time of just celebrating love. Celebrating godly marriage, celebrating freedom, because that's what we ultimately communicated and shared with them, was the freedom to love your spouse, freedom to connect with your spouse. You do not have to do it as culture mandates, but you can do it the Christ way and be intimate with your spouse and connect with your spouse. And that's what we did for that week. When I sat and thought this morning, I was sitting and thinking as to why we started working with women in Haiti first. There's this thing, you know, this belief in my soul that women, as the center of the family in many societies, even in America, you will see the movement of women go about in so many parts of society, so many places. They're in the marketplaces. They're at home teaching the children. They're at home doing Bible studies with the children. And so for us, we wanted to start with women first because we knew if we started with women first, it would have a ripple effect. And so for the past 5 years, we waited to see what they would do with the training that we did. And they did exactly what we thought they would do, like the Samaritan women. These women went out, and every year they would come back and say, Pastor Jula, we need another training. Pastor Jula, we need this. Pastor Jula, we need that. And last year they said, Pastor Jula, we need our husbands to learn what we're learning. And that's why we did the marriage conference this year. We knew, like the Samaritan women, that the Samaritan woman, that these women would go out and change their communities. And that's what we're starting to do. And that's what we're starting to see happen. We're just barely scratching the surface, especially on marriage stuff. We're praying that whatever the trainings we did will have an impact on those marriages, will have an impact in the family, will have an impact in the church, will have an impact in the community. And that's why we went. And so it was wonderful to see how God communicated with us throughout the week about the purpose of us going to Haiti. Yes, we endured hardships, especially in the airports, especially with the mosquitoes. Our children had maybe 100 mosquito bite this year, especially with the heat. Those were hard things. But when we see communities impacting, being impacted by the training, by us going, we will endure anything just to experience that. So I want you all to join us. Continue to pray for us. Continue to pray for God's mission here through Redeemer. Because God is doing something great here in our church as we are a missional church. All throughout the day, that's what you've been hearing with VBS, with Congo, with Haiti. We have opportunities to be a missional church. That's what we're doing. To close, I want you to focus on some prayer requests. In the back of your bulletin, I sent some ways to pray for Haiti. Pray for the women of Haiti. Pray that God may speak to them, heal them, and make them instruments of peace and healing for his name's sake. Pray that God may free them from the burden the society has given them to carry. And then pray for the men of Haiti, that they may see the power they have been given and to use it wisely, to build up and not destroy. Pray for the children of Haiti, that they may be taught of the ways of Christ from an early age, that they may grow up depending on the gospel and the people of God. That they pray for the family, the Haitian family system, that it may be strong. It may be founded under Christ. And Christ may be found at the center of this vital institution in Haiti. If the Christian church, if the Christian family is strong in Haiti, then we will see change in the community and in the nation. So join us in praying for that. Pray for the marriages in Haiti. Pray that they may be marked by godly love, respect, and equality, and not power, not control, and not violence. That is not God. Pray for God to raise up strong leaders in Haiti, leaders that will be sacrificial leaders, who will think of others before they think of themselves. And pray for the body of Christ, that is us. Pray that we may not grow numb. We may not forget. We may not just come to church and do the lip service, but we have a mission. We are on mission. And the mission is not just about ourselves. The mission is to proclaim the name of Christ wherever we are, wherever we go. That is our mission. Pray that we will understand that mission and we will be on that mission every single day. Pray to always remember our calling, and that is to proclaim the kingdom of Christ and to set the captives free. Let us pray. Father, you have spoken to us about our mission field. You have shown us even just on today, of just the many different ways to proclaim the good news, your good news. Whether it be through the VBS that we have going on this upcoming weekend in Congo or in Haiti or with ESL or any other programs that we have going on in the church, you have called us to be on mission. And so, Father, we pray that we may take our mission seriously, we may take our calling seriously, and we may follow you wholeheartedly. Father, I pray for Haiti. We pray for Haiti. It is a complex place, but you are calling us, Lord Jesus, all of us, to proclaim your good news and to set the captives free. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your message. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.